So, Psalm 19 then, let me just read it first. This is the Psalm of David. This is what God's word says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that wonderful? No translation for creation. Everyone in the world can understand it. That's wonderful, isn't it? Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Well, as I said before, for this Sunday only, we're going to have a break from 1 Timothy, our normal studies, and continue our series in the Psalms. And we'll always follow through the Psalms as long as I can. Today we will study Psalm 19. That great Christian writer from the UK, C.S. Lewis, written a lot of stories and a lot of things. He said in Psalm 19, Psalm 19 is the greatest poem in the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. So this famous Christian said that this is one of the greatest Psalms that you can study. And the emphasis of this Psalm is about God's revelation to himself. God reveals himself in Psalm 19. The God of the Bible is a God of revelation. Now, being a person, he must communicate and reveal himself to us in many ways. The psalmist tells us that God reveals himself through creation, through the moral teaching of the law, and through Jesus Christ. Those are the three things the psalmist tells us. Perhaps this is the best psalm to teach on such a special occasion as the 44th anniversary of Osaka International Church. Now, as we study the psalm, it neatly divides into three sections. And each of these sections give us more and more revelation about God. So by the time we have finished exposing the psalm, we will have God's complete and perfect revelation of himself. If you want to know what God is like, please listen carefully today and make sure you get a copy in English or Japanese so that you can study and think about these things. So first of all, we focus on verses 1 to 6. God reveals himself through creation and nature. Now, David, who wrote this psalm, we might call him an outdoor man. I'm a bit of an outdoor man. David loved to be out and about in the countryside, perhaps because he started his life as a shepherd and he spent all of his life in the countryside. However, David also spent many years on the run, running away from King Saul, and he had to sleep in caves and out in the outdoors. And David would probably go to bed when it got dark and wake up when the sun rose. He would probably watch the sun rising every day, maybe sitting up with his drink or his food and watch the sun rising every day. And so it's no wonder that David focuses upon the sun as a way that God reveals himself to us. Now, verses 5 to 6 in the New Living Translation, I'm quoting it in this translation because it's very clear and very moving. This is what it says about the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other. Nothing can hide from its heat. Now, David compares the sun to a radiant bridegroom after his wedding, and also like an athlete eager to run the race. Now, recently, I've been waking up, as you know, I've had a cold for 3 weeks and not a lot of sleep. I've been waking up very early sometimes before the sun rises. And I've watched the sun rising up from the mountains over Nara, and it's a wonderful sight. I don't know if we have the slide there. That's taken from my living room where I live in Acoma. And that's obviously, from upstairs, it's much clearer. But this week, I've been watching wonderful sunrises. And it's a beautiful thing to get up and just to watch the sun rising. Everything's dark and then suddenly gets light and then suddenly comes up. And from where I live, I look right across the mountains of Nara. It's a beautiful sight to see the sun rising. Although David focused upon the sun as a way of praising God for the revelation of himself, we mustn't forget that although the sun is a big part of God's creation, it's only one part. God's creation includes everything on this earth. It includes the plant life, the animal life, the skies and the waters, the rocks, the crystals, and even the things that are so small we need special equipment to actually see them. Some things that God has created, we can't even see without a microscope. World-famous biologist Edward O. Wilson, in his book, The Future of Life, claims that there are as many as 1.6 million species of fungi in the world. See those? That's fungi, the purple one on the top. So 1.6 million species of fungi in the world. Wow, that's big. And there are 10,000 species of ants. 10,000 species of ants. I only know three. I've got tiny ones that crawl into my house and I can't find out. I can kill them just like that. But there are 10,000 species of ants, 300,000 species of flowering plants. Okay? And there's between 4,000 to 5,000 species of animals and 10,000 species of birds. What a wonderful creation. Absolutely amazing. And David didn't have this sort of information, okay? He wasn't able to go to the biologist and said, how many of these? But we have it, okay? However, just through the sun rising and setting, David was able to say that he was overwhelmed with the glory of God. Just seeing the sun coming up and the sun going down, because he lived outside. So we are accountable to the revelation of God just to see the sunrise and the sunset. But all these other things surely challenge us. Warren Wiersbe, a famous Bible teacher from the United States, says this: creation is a wordless book that everybody can read because it needs no translation. So whatever language you speak in the world, you can look at creation and God will reveal himself to you. No translation needed. God speaks through creation day after day and night after night. The question I want to challenge you with this morning is, God speaking to you today through his creation? Because God reveals himself through his creation. There are many people in the world who acknowledge the wonder of creation, and yet they do not acknowledge the creator of all this creation. We've just touched on a little thing this morning. Now, over 30 years ago, when I used to live in Kobe, one morning, I used to live in a 3DK and used to have my quiet time in the garage underneath in the car, but it was a lovely day. I thought I'd have my quiet time in the park. So I got up early, I walked into Okureyama Park near my home, and I was shocked. I thought I would be the only one in the park sitting in a bench with my Bible open. But I was shocked to find that I was not alone. There were hundreds of old people in the park. And I looked at them, and they were hugging the trees. And one lady put the leaves down. She was kissing the leaves. And I thought, what's going on here? I was new to Japan, and I realized they were worshiping nature. They were worshiping nature, hugging the trees and kissing the leaves. They were making an idol of God's creation, and they were not acknowledging the Creator God. Found that quite a shock, and then I discovered why they were doing it. Now, the Jewish people were forbidden to worship objects in the heavens, and they weren't allowed even to practice astrology. They worshiped the Creator God, not the creation. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5 says, "You must not make for yourself an idol, or any image, or anything in the heavens, or on the earth, or on the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." Okay? No affection for any other gods. "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me." So God is very strict on people who worship other things and other gods. Isaiah 47, 13 to 14 says, "All the advice you receive has made you tired. Where are your astrologers? Those stargazers who made predictions each month, let them stand up and save you from what the future holds." Okay, a challenge to those who look to the stars and go to these fortune tellers. "But they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their hearth is no place to sit for warmth." The existence of creation implies the existence of a creator. The nature of this world's creation implies that the creator is wise enough to plan it. God has planned all this creation. He is powerful enough to execute his plan. He's also powerful enough to maintain what he's made. With such a complex universe and everything in it, this nature demands a creator who can do anything, who knows everything, and who is present everywhere. And David acknowledged that this creator God was the God of the Bible. David knew that God was speaking to the inhabitants of the earth by means of his creation. And when Paul preached to the community in Athens, Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31, he started with creation. And then he moved through to the gospel message. This is what he said, one of my favorite sermons, really, and I've been to the place in Athens where he's preached it. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, that's right up in Mars Hill. Men in Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. He could be talking to Japanese people. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. And there he starts it off. He says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all, God gives to all, life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Okay? Going right back to Adam. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said. So they were getting close. For we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained, that's Jesus Christ, and he has given assurance to this by raising him from the dead. A famous Bible teacher said this, God's voice of power in creation prepares the way for his voice in the grace, God's voice of power in creation prepares the way for his voice of grace in the gospel. So, God reveals himself in creation. Secondly, the psalmist says in verses 7 to 11, God reveals himself through the moral teaching of the law. Now, David realizes that although the God of the Bible reveals himself through creation, the knowledge of creation itself does not answer the problem of the human heart. Where do we get our moral direction from in life? Men and women are spiritual beings, and they want to get in touch with their Creator and have friendship with him. You see, there's a hole in everybody's heart that can't be filled by themselves. Many people search for the meaning to life. They search to fill this hole in their heart. What is it? They try everything, but they can't fill it. Because David knows that the answer, and he knows the answer about how to fill this hole, and he wants to communicate with us about this answer. And in this verse, David talks about the law of God in six different ways. And this helps us to understand the benefits of God's law, okay, talking about the first five books of the Bible. First of all, David says in verse 7, he uses the word, the law of the Lord. Now, this Hebrew word actually means Torah. It means divine instruction and teaching. Excuse me. This divine teaching is complete and nothing is left out. It speaks to all of our needs, and it's able to convert or to restore our soul. So if you want to study God's law, that will teach you something. Second, David uses the word testimony in verse 7. This Hebrew word means the witness of God's nature. Okay, we just had that. The Ten Commandments were known by this name, and they were the basis of God's law. God's law is dependable. It doesn't change according to circumstances. Culture changes. Everything changes. It's always changing. But God's word never changes. And God's word is always relevant to you for all of your life. 2 Timothy 3:15, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So it is through the Scriptures that God teaches you and God speaks to you about the need for Jesus Christ in your heart. Thirdly, in verse 8, the English word used here in my Bible is precepts or statutes. Now, this Hebrew word concerns God's will that is expressed in a particular way. These are the details, instructions concerning the practical matters of everyday life. So in all cultures, in all ages, throughout the world, from the beginning right through to the end, there are instructions in the Bible about everyday life. There is no problem that will come in the future that's been in the past where God's word cannot say something to instruct you. For the Old Testament Jew, there were specific instructions on what to do concerning foods and all sorts of things. But there are other things that we can gain from those. And David explains that there's a joy in your heart when you know what you believe is right. So you have this joy, this happiness and this deep fulfillment in your heart when you know what is right with God through his word. So if you're a Christian believer this morning, then you should rejoice when truth is preached. When the truth of God's word is preached and taught, there should be something going on in your heart. You should rejoice when you're taught truth. Fourthly, David talks about the commandment of the Lord in verse 8. David is saying here that if we obey God's commandments, then our conscience is enlightened. So when we obey, it's a great blessing to our conscience. But when we disobey, our heart becomes dull and hardened. So there's no joy in disobeying God's word. But there is great joy as we're obedient to God's word, whatever it happens to be. And finally, David talks about God's law bringing fear and judgment. That's not so nice. God's law does challenge mankind to obedience, because there are consequences for disobedience to God's law. Just as you might disobey the law of gravity and jump off an aeroplane, you're going to get killed. There's the law of gravity and there's the law of God's word. There are consequences. Also, the Hebrew word suggests that we must show respect and reverence for God's word. So we mustn't take God's word lightly. We mustn't be selective in what we obey and selective in what we choose to ignore. It's not a supermarket where we go in with our shopping bag and we'll accept this, but we won't accept that. We have to revere and respect God's word. So we can see how a revelation of God's word is a revelation of himself. We get to know God as we read his word. We need a Bible. We had a phone call from Keiko in Tokyo. She went to an international church and she said the first thing the pastor said is, you don't need your Bible. I said, well, don't go back there, because you do need your Bible, because this is a revelation of God. So if you want to meet with God every day, you've got to read your Bible. You can't trust in feelings. They come and go. So it's important to read our Bible, because God reveals himself to us in the Bible. And David also says that in keeping God's, So we see how a revelation of God's word is a revelation of himself. And David says that to know and desire God's word is sweeter than honey and better than possessing gold. I love to have honey, and I have it every day. and it's wonderful. In fact, I got a big 3 teddy bears from Costco this week, so I'm okay for a couple of months. I have it on my cereal, and that's great. But God's word is better than honey. I don't have any gold bars under my bed, so don't worry. But if I did, God's word would be better than the gold bars. Okay? So if you want the very best, here it is. Okay? Keeping God's law will bring you great reward. Society today will not teach you about the Bible and what teach you about God's law. Creation can't be hidden in any way. Okay? So the sun comes up. They can't hide the sun. I know the clouds are sometimes there, but they can't do anything about God's creation. They can say that somebody else created it or there's a big bang, but it'll always be there as part of God's revelation. So creation can't be hidden, but man does his best to hide and destroy the knowledge of God's word. Okay? So countries all over the world have been trying to destroy and ban the Bible. Okay? It's going on all over the world. Now, today in China, they realize that they cannot destroy the Bible. Okay? They've realized that in China. So what they're doing is they're trying to change the Bible to fit in with other religions. Okay? We had a prayer letter come through. There are serious problems in China at the moment. They're trying to change the Bible because they realize they can't destroy it. Now, perhaps this is the start of the one world religion before the second coming of Jesus. So we need to be very careful that we protect our Bible. This is the issue. Okay? This is the issue that we have to protect. Once they start bringing out a Bible that includes all the other religions, then we know Jesus is coming soon. Whatever the world tries to do to destroy the Bible, God will never allow his word to be totally destroyed. I'll guarantee you that. His word is there forever. The psalmist says, forever God's word is settled in heaven. That's not going to change. So, God reveals himself through nature. God reveals himself through the law, through the Bible. And thirdly, God reveals himself through Jesus Christ, verses 12 and 14 of the psalm. In this last section, David declares in verse 14 that God is his strength and his redeemer. A redeemer is somebody who buys you back from captivity. David somehow knew of God's plan for his redemption through Jesus Christ. I don't know how he knew that, but he did. He acknowledged in verse 12 that he had sins in his life that needed cleansing and even asked God to cleanse him from his secret faults. David did not want to be bound or dominated by sin. He didn't want to be held captive. He wanted to be released. He wanted his heart and his speech to be glorifying to God. Now, unless we have a personal relationship with the Lord God of the Bible as our Heavenly Father, then what we see in creation and nature and what we read about in the Bible about God's law isn't going to do us much good. You need to know Jesus to know God. Okay? You need to know Jesus to know God. Now, Christmas is only 9 weeks away. Sorry to spring that on you. If it was in England, you'd run out tomorrow and buy presents. But anyway, Christmas is only 9 weeks away. And the story of the Magi, that's the three kings, but there weren't three kings, but we call them three kings. The story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, gives us an example of what David's talking about in the psalm. The Magi followed God's star, that's creation. It was a special message in the sky to direct them. Then they consulted God's word and discovered the king was to be born in Bethlehem. And then when they got to Bethlehem, they discovered Jesus. So all three aspects of God's revelation were used. In the sky with the star, through the word, and then they found Jesus. So when you study God's creation with a Bible in your hand, you cannot help but see Jesus Christ. Jesus is seen in the vine in John chapter 15, verses 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." You can't do anything of any spiritual value without Jesus. He is the vine creation. Jesus is seen as the sun in John 8, verses 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is seen as a star in Numbers 24, 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, batter the brow of Moab and destroy the sons of tumult." And Jesus is seen as the Lamb in John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The word of God in your hand is great. The word of God in your head is even better. But it's the word of God in your heart that will transform you and make you a mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about application before we close? Well, from what we've heard from God's word today, what can we take home and apply to our lives this week? Well, if you're not a Christian, then you need to consider God's wonderful creation here in Japan. Soon, we'll be in the autumn. Actually, autumn's arrived because it's a bit colder, but I prepared this a week ago, but autumn's arrived. But autumn's arrived in Japan. Beautiful leaves, wonderful creation. Then in the spring, we have the cherry blossoms. And then there is the sun rising every day. We can go out. In Japan, there's some wonderful sunrises and sunsets. And there's all of God's nature to consider. Maybe you won't see too much in Osaka, but if you go out in the country, there's plenty of God's nature. Who do you think made it? All these species, who made it? You've got to consider that. It wasn't a big bang. Who made it? You see, until you acknowledge that the God of the Bible created the earth and the universe, you'll never benefit from what God has to say in the Bible. Okay? You've got to start reading the Bible as God, your creator. You have to open your heart to your creator God and let him in. Ask him to teach you through the Bible about himself. Today you can have a free copy of John's Gospel and Romans. I got 200 copies given to me free, and we're going to be giving those out. Read John's Gospel. It's all about Jesus. Read Romans. It's all about salvation. Okay, so you have to open up your heart to the God of the Bible and read about him in the Bible. You see, people are available today to help you and pray with you if you're not a Christian. Don't leave this room disappointed. Cry out to God to reveal himself to you. He's already revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in the Bible. And he will reveal himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to open up your heart to him. Look at creation, read God's word, and consider Jesus. That's if you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian today, you have much to thank Jesus for. We've got a lot to thank Jesus for. However, the challenge is to serve Jesus. When we become a Christian, we don't go straight to heaven. The reason is that Jesus has a plan and purpose for us to serve him here. And we need to be a channel for God's blessing. We are not the blessing. We are just a channel for God's blessing. So if you have if you've surrendered your life fully to Jesus and let him choose your ministry, then he will be a channel to work through, or we will be a channel for him to work through. God is not looking for our ability, otherwise I wouldn't be here. God is not looking for our ability. Some of us have got great ability. Translating from English to Japanese, I could never do that. Great ability. But God's not looking for that. He's looking for our availability so he can use our ability, whatever it might be. Very precious verse. I remember listening to a cassette tape 30 years ago in Osaka when I was helping a business with their English. Stephen Olford quoted this verse. He said, therefore, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? So the things that we do to serve Jesus are not a waste of time. So as we enter another year in the life of Osaka International Church, I want to challenge all of us, including me, to do the work of the Lord. You see, anybody can work for Jesus. Yeah, anyone can work for Jesus. But to do the work of the Lord, his work, requires a full surrender to his will and his plan for our lives. Okay? Then he'll work through us. It's his work through us. Otherwise, it would be all the superheroes that God uses. But actually, it's the humble servants. Acknowledge they have nothing to offer except for God's Holy Spirit. So may God bless us abundantly as we seek to be humble servants in his hands, the God of the Bible, our great Creator and our Redeemer. Let's pray.